Welcome to show number 51 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. Hello and welcome to the show today. Hopefully everybody's doing really well out there. Really excited to be with you today. Lots of good things on tap for this month. Lots of good sports cards, good sports topics, and all kinds of good things going on. Today we'll get into a little bit of it. I won't say that we'll touch on all the products in depth. We'll definitely save some future shows for that, especially some of these baseball products that are coming out this month, along with football and basketball. There's some exciting basketball products, so it's really a great time to be a collector and to be alive, to be anything at this moment, to be an NFL draft pick as well. It's a great time to be alive for them and their agents, because they're about to sign some deals, and we'll talk about the NFL draft. I actually recorded a show. I actually watched the NFL draft. It was really cool. They were streaming it on, I think it was the NFLnetwork.com or something. It's coming in like HD quality. I felt like I was in New York watching the draft. We'll talk about that. It was a good draft. I recorded a show. It didn't work out for some reason. I'm not sure if it was something with the show or if it was something with the servers over where I host these things. It's sometimes there's some issues always with everything, not only with my computers but with my life. But we'll talk about the NFL draft and kind of the things that are happening there. Obviously, Tim Tebow jumping all the way up into the first round has gotten collectors and all kinds of people into a tizzy. So we'll talk about the NFL draft a little bit, about some of the players that were selected. Obviously, not a lot of it was surprise. And a lot of it was a real defensive-heavy draft. So we'll talk about that. Talk about us. Hopefully you guys have some money in the bank, because there's three different baseball sets that are, one is out and two are coming out, that are fairly collectible, fairly good buys probably. Timeless Treasures basketball, Absolute Memorabilia basketball this month. There's some football sets, so we'll talk about that. Not necessarily going to be one of the most organized shows in the bunch, but we'll at least be talking about sports cards. Definitely maybe get more organized and more focused later on in the month, when we maybe really zone in on some of these products, talk a lot about them. But we'll just touch briefly on them today. But wanted to welcome some of our newest members to the SportsCardRadio.com fan forum, Cards in Wine. Actually, a very good Twitter. If you're into Twitter, somebody that you want to follow there, talks a lot about sports cards and things like that. Toronto Sports 326, Lord of Time 25, Neil Buckeye has been on there posting. Jay Tedders, that is my mom, I think. So my mom is not posted. So if I can't get my own mom to post on the forum, I'm really thankful to the rest of you that post on the forum regularly as well. And also wanted to welcome Just Cardboard, who also has justcardboard.com. You want to check out that site. Really nice site. There's a link on our fan forum. But justcardboard.com, nice domain name, nice website actually too. Definitely want to check that out. Some nice information about sports cards. Just a collector going, you probably learn some things. I think we learn things from everybody. So justcardboard.com. And another website, Topps Kid, is the publisher of thecardchop.blogspot.com. thecardchop.blogspot.com. So you want to check out those two websites while you're surfing around the net at work, when you really should be working. You definitely want to be checking out baseball card websites and things like that. It's definitely more fun. Definitely sometimes takes away from the production levels. But speaking of production levels, we're going to be producing, we have a box break here. We have a box break for Chickle. That one's closed. I actually have all the entries. We had to update our website and do a bunch of stuff the day that contest was supposed to start. So I'm actually kind of rearranging that, but everybody that's entered already knows what the deal is. If I didn't happen to email you, check my forum post or send me an email especially, because I think I had all the articles bookmarked, but maybe not. I'm definitely going to go through my email one more time and double check. But we have a box break. 2007 Donruss Threads, picked it up actually when I was buying Chickle. I actually got the boxes today. I've got to wait a couple days to open them. I've got to wait till get a little cord for my camera, a little plug-in AC cord for my camera, so I can record the things. So we'll wait a couple days. So there's definitely time to get in our 2007 Donruss Threads football box break, picked it up with the Chico box to get myself some free shipping, and I'm just running it out. I just want to take the Bengals, and I'll take every other team that nobody else wants, but I'm running out for $2 a spot, and that includes shipping, it includes everything. So definitely pretty much you're breaking even there. You're really not paying for anything but shipping of the cards. So it's literally almost a free spot in a box break. So, and if you don't want to take your chances at a team, chances are anything that I get, I will probably do in some other giveaway. If I pull a several hundred dollar card that I'm not rich and I don't have a job, so I reserve the right to maybe fund my rent or fund my feeding and eating habits in some way if I happen to pull like a Walter Payton autograph or something like that. But I'll definitely give away anything sub-$100 value pretty much on the forum. So be on the lookout for that. Once we bust that boxes, there'll probably be up some other giveaways and things like that. And it reminds me, there's a contest for last month that I forgot to run right at the end of the month. It's for a Nick Weglar's jersey. So everybody that's in the running for that, as usual, I forget to close the contest out the day it's supposed to end. I got to set up a little calendar for that. But one of the numerous things that slipped my mind, but I'll run the results of that hopefully at the end of this show or by tomorrow. So if you're in the running for that card, be sure to check out that. I'll add it to the prize closet as well. Well, that about wraps it up for the intro segment, and I can't really call it much of one, if that, but hopefully this next segment's better. We're going to be talking about the NFL draft. By now, you already know who's picked and stuff, so we'll kind of maybe go down for those maybe that didn't catch it or, you know, kind of like me that kind of watched it, but I was doing other things at the same time. Again, there was a lot of defensive players and offensive linemen that were drafted. Not that those guys aren't significant or definitely don't win championships and things like that, but in terms of the card game, as we all know, it's about the quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers and skill players, at least for the NFL, for the most part. So we'll talk about the NFL draft, some things there. Definitely already making it. It already had an impact on the hobby, but it's definitely making a huge impact now, Tim Tebow especially. So we'll talk about the NFL draft, and then after that, this might not be the longest show in the world, but after that we'll talk about the rest of this month is going to be some really good stuff in terms of sports cards that you want to keep your eye out on. Whether or not you're a big spender or not, there's going to be some new single cards and just some new cards to collect that are going to be out on the market, so you'll definitely want to keep your eye out for those. So we'll talk about those briefly, and then we'll definitely have more shows as we go along this month and talk about some of the definitely Bowman baseball. I think that's a set that's definitely caught the attention of collectors, so we'll talk about that. But right after this fabulous music, we'll be talking about the NFL draft, what it's going to be for your collection, how expensive our football box is going to be. We're going to be talking about some other NFL news that relates to cards as well that I did tease in this first segment. If you don't keep your ear to the Grindstone Twitter hobby blogs that cover news and stuff, you may not know that a certain company that makes baseball cards is now making football cards again. So we'll talk about that, an NFL draft, and a bunch of other stuff after this. Back, time to talk a little bit about the NFL draft and kind of football cards in general for 2010, at least to start off with. And probably one of the biggest news, and if you didn't hear about it, Topps is back in football, considering the NFL looked like they wanted a two-headed monster for their trading card games. They originally had Panini and Upper Deck slated in for football. But obviously, if you listen to the shows and kept up with the hobby news and things like that, you know Upper Deck has had plenty of troubles recently and over the past year. So they were out given the boot in football, and Topps is back in. And it's been rumored over the last several weeks. I'm sure Panini wanted an exclusive. They wanted to be solo. That would have been great for them. But I think football has the right to do what they want. And I think it's good to have two people in the game. And especially when you're bringing in someone like Topps, that'll be able to, produce cards very quickly. And I've been following their marketing director on Twitter. And they said they have to move quickly, but they should be able to put out some nice cards here, Topps. Regular Topps Series 1, they've got Topps Platinum, and they've got Topps Finest, and they've got several other sets in the works already, and we'll be bringing you pictures and the checklists and all those kind of things. And also in 2010, if you're interested in kind of seeing a preview of what's ahead, Prestige Football's coming out. Press Pass Portraits actually came out right at the tail end of last month or right at the beginning of this month. And Panini Classics and Donruss Elite, along with Score Football, come out later on in a couple months. But we already have those checklists up, minus the rookies. So if you're interested in taking a sneak peek of the sports cards and kind of what they're going to be looking like in 2010, at least of what we know of now, you can head on over to sportscardradio.com and you'll be able to find all that information. Well, let's talk about the NFL draft. Topps and Panini, and actually Upper Deck, I will throw this in here while we're talking about the companies. I mentioned a lot about Twitter because Twitter doesn't have a lot of collectors on it, but it has a lot of the industry and a lot of the bloggers on there. So you find out actually a good bit of information on there, not really day to day, but if you're on there and you check it from week to week, there are bits and pieces of pretty good information on there. And Upper Deck, I'm not shy about tweeting that they will be making football cards this year, and that they have full plans to actually, looks like maybe a fairly full schedule of football cards, obviously minus maybe some of the little frills and little minor sets. But I have a tweet from one of their brand directors, and they have Sweet Spot Football announced, and I have pictures and things like that up on our sports card site, and the product does look good. All I've seen is the helmet autographs, which look fairly similar to the helmet autographs that we're familiar with Sweet Spot, although very nice design and pretty cool that they're signed on the helmet themselves. Nothing new there, but it's a nice NCAA spin on a set, and you get to see Tom Brady and Drew Brees and these kind of guys as well in their college uniform. So it's pretty cool, but they announced basically that SB Authentic Football is on the way. I asked them about Exquisite Football and didn't get a reply. But I can imagine if SB Authentic Football is on the way and they've got full plans for everything, I can imagine that if you're an Upper Deck fan and you're a fan of most of their decent football sets, that you'll probably get to see those this year in some capacity or another. Not exactly sure how they're going to do it, but it sounds like they have full plans. So if you're an NFL collector, you're actually going to get sets from Topps, you're going to get sets from Panini, and you're going to get sets from Upper Deck. So it's going to be one of the best covered sets, unlike baseball that does get touched on by all the other brands. But it sounds like Upper Deck's really going forward with football, and they're going to have some sets for collectors. So it's an exciting time for football collectors. There'll be plenty of stuff. And I can imagine if the draft wasn't as great as it was in terms of kind of the hype around some of these quarterbacks and some of these other players, maybe Upper Deck wouldn't take this risk, because baseball, although it has Jason Hayward has cards that were made several years ago, and people, we've talked about him on this podcast several times, and I know other websites that do a really good job at prospecting have talked about him for several years. So football, although it's one of those sports where Tim Tebow's been around a while, not very many cards get made of those players. So it's exciting for football collectors. And it's exciting for anybody in general. So we'll talk about the NFL draft. Number one pick, Sam Bradford. Great pick by the Rams. I think if you have the number one pick, you know, chances are you're bad. And chances are you're probably going to have some money. Chances are you don't have a huge payroll. And if you do, you have real problems if you have the number one pick and a huge payroll. So you have some money, so you might as well go for, you know, an impact player, somebody that's going to make an impact. If he turns out to be a star, he's going to make you 10 times what you're going to pay him, probably way more than that, actually. He's going to make you 100 times, probably. You know, Tom Brady, what he's made for the New England Patriots is minuscule to his $100 million contract. So if Sam Bradford turns out to be half the quarterback, even if he turns out to be, no offense to my own team, Carson Palmer, but Carson Palmer hasn't really won anything. But Carson Palmer's done a lot for the Cincinnati Bengals. So if Sam Bradford can have that kind of impact and be a solid quarterback and win games and not make, you know, terrible mistakes, you know, he's worth a lot for this number one pick. And I'm glad they went with a quarterback. Either that or you trade it. You know, you're going to draft a guy at this top pick. You're going to be looking at $70 to $100 million contract. So you might as well get, you know, a quarterback. So I like that they did that. They needed a quarterback. They have a running back. They'll be able to fill in the holes as they go forward. But typically, the quarterback's the most expensive player, so you might as well grab him at the number one spot. Second pick, Ndukama Sue, I guess. I don't really know. I haven't heard his name pronounced enough to know how to say it, but we all know this is the defensive tackle from Nebraska that came on. He had a great last half of the season when Nebraska was on TV, which was the perfect time to showcase your talents. I'm not saying that that pushed him up to the number one, number two pick, but I'm sure it didn't hurt his chances at getting picked even higher. And it's a good pick for the Lions, who have already done the St. Louis Rams thing and spent the money and drafted a quarterback number one. They have a running back, I think, in place. They have wide receivers, obviously. They spent many years drafting wide receivers. Looks like Calvin Johnson is the one that worked out there. But you can always fill in. As long as you have that one wide out, they can fill in other pieces along the way. But you always need defense, and that seemed to what the Lions struggled with. I somehow watched, I think, at least three or four of their games last year. And it seems like they moved the ball well. It seems like they did score. But teams didn't have a problem scoring on them, so it's probably good that they went defense. And a lot of the – I can't say that I follow college football. I wish I was big on college football. I could actually analyze some of these defensive players that went near the top. Now, I will say this. The NFL draft is structured in a way. These guys that go near the top, yeah, they will make a lot of money, but the running backs and wide receivers, we saw it with Michael Crabtree, they tend to want a little bit more. So it might be, you know, you saw Sam Bradford get picked, and it wasn't until the ninth pick when you saw another offensive player. Not that the guys that were selected ahead of him, the Cleveland Browns drafting Joe Hayden, that's probably a good pick considering, although that's a running division. You know, you have teams like the Bengals and the Pittsburgh Steelers, if they have Ben Roethlisberger, they can throw. And the Baltimore Ravens, they can throw with Joe Flacco. So it's good. I know they have another corner there. I'm actually sad the Browns made a nice pick there. Although drafting a corner that high, I know that the Bengals drafted two corners in succession, Leon Hall and Jonathan Joseph. And those were both toward the later end, I believe, of the first rounds. And those guys are both really good. So I don't know if you need to jump out at a corner at the seventh pick, but in that division, it's always good to have as many corners, I think, as possible, considering the NFL has turned into a throwing league. But right before, I'm going to talk about C.J. Spiller at number 9, but coming from an Oakland Raiders fan, they picked up Rolando McClain. Not that he's going to make much of a hobby impact, but, you know, this was a pick that, coming from my brother-in-law, who's a diehard Raiders fan, he liked this pick, and just from the analysis, I remember watching the draft, just from the analysis, the guys on TV seemed to like this pick, thought it was a good pick, and I think it's good for the Raiders. They could have maybe picked, there was several other players they probably could have taken a chance on, but this is a good spot for them to pick up a linebacker at the number 8th pick and probably do it fairly inexpensively, because I saw that Patrick Willis just got a $50 million contract, and linebackers tend to get big deals second, third time around, so the younger guys often work out for you. But C.J. Spiller went number 9 to the Buffalo Bills. Think this was a really good pick for them. Although they have some issues at other positions on the offensive end, I think you can never go wrong picking a running back high in the NFL draft. It's just like a quarterback. This is a guy that can, if he turns out to be a fairly decent player, can definitely win you games. As we've seen in the NFL, you can't always just have one running back, and obviously the Bills had a high running Marshawn Lynch several years ago. But it's not like they're going to totally ditch him and probably several other running backs. You need two. You need two or three. Every team pretty much has two or three. Even the Bengals, who went with Cedric Benson, like a lot of the time he got ran down, and we had other guys come in and fill in. So you need everybody, but a game breaker is always nice. So it's a good pick for them. They're going to spend a lot of money on him, but I guess they're used to that with top picks. Not a whole lot went on. Number 12, Ryan Matthews, another guy that's going to have some hobby impact. The San Diego Chargers, interesting pick here that they would go running back when they do have some defensive issues on that team slightly. Although they do play strong defense, I think some of those guys are getting fairly old, or there's definitely injury concerns there as well. But running back, they decided to go with Ryan Matthews, another fairly expensive pick here. But I guess you get rid of LT, you got to replace him. So Ryan Matthews, a guy to keep an eye on. A lot of Fresno State guys don't project well for some reason when they go to the NFL. I don't know if that's totally the case, but I can think of several Fresno State guys on the offensive end that really haven't panned out in the NFL. It's an interesting program that they run there. They do play a lot of high-caliber college teams. So these guys do put up stats against big-time college programs. But for some reason in the NFL, they don't always pan out. So we'll see if Ryan Matthews, he's one of the higher Fresno State picks I can remember at number 12. So we'll see what happens to him. Going down the list, lots of offensive linemen, and not that those guys and, you know, linebackers and corners, not that those guys are going to make a big hobby impact. They definitely will their first season. We'll definitely see these. I've seen you know, the number two pick, some of his autographs going for a lot. I've seen some other guys going for, you know, obviously when you go to like a Philadelphia Eagles or a Steelers, some of these more popular teams, your stuff is going to go for a lot. And like the Atlanta Falcons got Sean Weatherspoon. You know, his stuff is going to go for a little bit because, you know, it's the new team's rookie. There's lots of, you know, team collectors that are going to jump on board right away. So you want to be careful with, especially the first round pick. In all picks in general, right in the beginning, especially with defensive players. Now, offensive players is a whole other story because a guy can come out and have a great first season, and you're not going to touch his rookies probably for at least 2 or 3 years. And if he turns out to be a superstar, which obviously is very rare, but you're not going to be able to touch his stuff for very much. But, you know, just knowing my own team, knowing the Bengals, I remember when Chad Johnson was a rookie in 2001. I remember buying his rookies for, his autograph rookies for under $10. And then they went up. People all of a sudden started knowing him. This was before he changed his name to Ocho Cinco. Probably in like 2003, 2004, this is when everybody started, when the Bengals started winning game, people started listening to everything Chad Johnson had to say, and his rookies went up quite a bit to, you know, $70, $80, $100. His SB Authentic went up quite a bit more than that. But, you know, since then, it's not like Chad hasn't been playing any better, but, you know, there's always that really hot point, and even if you play well, there's always new wide receivers and new players coming into the league and new things, new Bengals players and new other players to spend your money on. So Chad Johnson rookies, although they're not under $10 anymore, they're definitely not $100 anymore. You know, I'm just speaking of the general autograph rookie. You can have one probably right in that $40 range. So, you know, over the lifetime of a player, you either want to jump in right at the beginning, right before he gets hot, right in that first season, second season, third season. Sometimes it takes a fourth season, sometimes longer than that with, you know, some other players. But typically, it's in that first 3 or 4 season the guy makes his big impact. So you can either jump in, hopefully right before he has his big season or big game, or you wait until after that. You wait until 4 or 5 seasons until everybody's kind of cools off on him. And the price kind of solidifies. I mean, Chad Ochocinco's on Dancing with one of the most popular shows on TV, and he's, you know, all over, you know, he keeps himself in the news as much as possible. So, you know, that's a player that you could really look at and see that, hey, even guys that play well, keep themselves in the news, lots of people know him outside of football. You know, he's not a quarterback. He's not a Tom Brady. There's very few people that are. You know, keep that in mind when you're buying these rookies. But to keep going with this draft, speaking of the Bengals, this is a guy that will have an impact in the hobby, and I will be looking at his. I don't think I'll be buying any of his rookies unless they're really cheap, unless people are totally ignoring them. But I don't really see that happening. He went to Oklahoma, and this is Jermaine Gresham. He's a tight end, real big guy, real 6'5". I'll keep you updated just on based on the mini camps that they just had for the rookies this past weekend. The coaches were really excited about this guy. They really thought he picked up the offense well. He was, you know, interacting with the teammates well. He looked really athletic. He was catching the ball. They thought he was picking up everything they were trying to teach him. And Bengals coaches tend to not give rookies a lot of praise right in the beginning, but they were praising him. I don't know if that was a tactic or if that was really worth Gresham's efforts and worth giving him, but they were praising him. And he is a tight end, and he's in an offense that does want to throw the ball more, and the Bengals have always wanted that tight end, especially a guy 6'5", and athletic. So I'm really excited to watch him play. He had a knee injury that kept him out of the 2009 season, so a lot of college football fans that followed this last season are not going to be familiar with him. But we'll see. Hopefully he stays healthy. We have a curse of first-round picks, especially late ones, right in that 20. We always pick right in that 20th range, 17th to 23rd range, and those guys always get hurt. So knock on wood, hopefully Jermaine Gresham doesn't get hurt, but he definitely hears a guy late in the first round that will see some hobby love. And being a tight end, it might not be as much, but definitely you'll see some hobby love given to Jermaine Gresham. Right after that, Demaryius Thomas, don't know a whole lot about him, but he went to the Broncos, and they made a very interesting pick about two picks later, that we'll talk about. But nice pick here, I guess. They say that he will be an immediate deep threat, but that he needs to improve his route running ability. And they always say that about wide receivers. And as long as they work hard, I think they'll be fine. As long as they work with the quarterback, it's really the tandem with the quarterback. You know, a guy can come in and run perfect routes, but if he's not in perfect tandem with the quarterback, that perfect route's going to be an incompletion. So I don't read too much into it. He needs to work on his he's a bit raw as a route runner. If Tim Tebow can throw him the ball, I think Demaryius Thomas will be just fine. Des Bryant went to the Dallas Cowboys. This is a absolutely perfect place for Des Bryant. This is a guy, Bryant is a top 10 talent. This is a guy the Cowboys love. They love to get top 10 talent in the 20th, 24th pick of the draft, but with well-documented off-the-field issues. Now, I'm not really sure if I'm too privy of Des Bryant's well-documented off-the-field issues. Again, I know that he does have off-the-field issues. I know that he had a problem with his university, but you know, someone that does follow sports, you know, I'm willing to give Des Bryant a second chance because I have no idea what his off-the-field issues were. So I just know they cost him a few spots in the draft, but he gets to go to the Cowboys where he won't make as much money if he went maybe like 12th or 13th, but there's going to be plenty of opportunities in Dallas to promote yourself and to get that second contract. And we know that owner's got plenty of money. He's not going to have a problem with paying Des Bryant as long as he works hard. So, like that pick, Des Bryant's going to have a huge impact. Des Bryant was going to have a big impact on the hobby, but now that he went to the Cowboys, we just moved him into the top, probably maybe even to the top three in terms of hobby impact this year. At least right in the beginning. Depends obviously on if he flops and he causes problem or gets hurt and things like that, obviously his value diminishes. But given that he's on the Cowboys, which is a very, very beloved team and very well collected team, there's hobby websites devoted strictly to collecting Dallas Cowboys cards, as there is with most teams, but Dallas Cowboy fans run deep. And I like the pick there, and I like it for the hobby too, because if you pull a Dez Bryant card but you hate the Cowboys, you will be rewarded when you do try to sell it. Now, speaking of being rewarded when you sell cards, and speaking of hobby hype, and speaking of being in the top three of most hobby love this year, this guy is in he's number one, and he's in a stratosphere all of his own. Tim Tebow, Denver Broncos traded up to get him. Not exactly sure. I'm not sure if they traded up. It says from Baltimore. I think they did trade up to get him. I'm not really sure what happened here. I'm not exactly sure what the heck Denver's thinking now. Obviously, I think Tim Tebow is going to be, really, he's either going to be Tom Brady or he's going to be nothing. That may be a complete stretch, but I want to side on that Tim Tebow is going to be a good player. Whether or not he's the 25th pick in the draft, I'm not really sure. As a Denver Broncos fan, they brought in this young kid. I can't remember his name, but I know he worked for Bill Belichick. I think he pretty much wants to be Bill Belichick, and he's trying to do all these things. If you're a Denver Broncos fan, all this guy's done is run your quarterback out of town and your best wide receiver out of town. So I'm not exactly sure how thrilled you'd be, but the seats are going to be packed. Cards are going to be flying out the doors. They already are flying out the doors. But Tim Tebow, it's really exciting to see for the hobby. I know people have strong opinions on Tim Tebow, and people love to hate this guy, and that's probably why people love him even more. Tends to be the more you get hated on, the more people that love you even more. So Tim Tebow's got lots of love, lots of hobby love, lots of people paying big bucks. We'll see what happens. People are going to follow him very closely this year. I'm not exactly sure what kind of opportunity he's going to get. I know they have Brady Quinn there. I know they have a stable of other quarterbacks in Denver. Kyle Orton. They have another guy from Fresno State that was from Turlock, where I went to school and everything. Tom Bradstater, I think, is there. I mean, there's just a ridiculous amount of quarterbacks there. So we'll see what happens. Tim Tebow, I think, is athletically gifted, much more athletically gifted than I think people give him credit for. I think people kind of get wrapped up in Tim Tebow's softer side off the field that he portrays. I'm not sure if it's a portrayal, if it's really Tim Tebow, but he portrays a very soft side off the field. But Tim Tebow, I've never seen him in person, but I've seen him on TV enough to know that he dwarfed a lot of guys in the Big Ten or wherever he played football. This guy is huge. He has huge arms. He's very athletically gifted. He can run. He can take hits. We've seen him get concussions and snap back and be okay. And that's something that not every quarterback has. Not every player that's drafted in this first round or and definitely in this NFL draft has toughness like Tim Tebow. And I think that can carry him a long ways. Whether or not he'll be able to complete passes, I don't know, but we do know that he's going to work on it. Tim Tebow is going to try to be the best. He's going to try to be like Tom Brady. And so if that's worth the 25th pick to you, and plus a lot of ticket sales and jersey sales, then so be it. So we'll see what happens. But I kind of like the pick. But as a Denver Broncos fan, I got to hate what the coach is doing. He's ran your best quarterback and best receiver out of town. I'd be kind of upset. But we'll see what happens. Detroit Lions at number 30 got Javad Best. So the Lions are filled with really high-priced cards. You got Matthew Stafford, Javad Best, Ndukama Suh. They got the running back I think they drafted last year or the year before. So they got Calvin Johnson. So Detroit Lions fans, you guys are spending a lot of money on cards for not a lot of wins. I hope that turns around for you. And I will say the Bengals had plenty of top picks, plenty of number one picks, and we were the scrum of the league, and everybody always laughed at me when I told them I was a Bengals fan. Well, eventually you start winning games, and not that we've won anything. We definitely haven't won anything, believe me, but we at least don't lose double-digit games every year now, and I'm sure the Lions will turn it around soon. Not all these picks and all these top picks, as they know, will turn out. But eventually, some of them will, and some of the guys back in the third round, second round, fourth round, you know, guys in free agency, it'll turn around. And Detroit's a good town. They're kind of in the midst of a comeback themselves. And I can imagine once the city comes back, I can imagine the football team's going to be right there. You know, NFL teams tend to go in cycles unless you're lucky. You tend to be really good for a while, and then the league has rules and free agency and salary cap things that kind of set it up to where it makes it tough for you to dominate, keep dominating. So you kind of fall off. And the Detroit Lions, although they've never really been to the highest of highs, they're definitely at the lowest of lows, and they're coming out of them. So it'll be exciting to see if some of these picks that they make this year and the previous years will actually come through, because I know Lions fans are really hurting. Hopefully some of these other teams, just going into the second round, I know another team that was hurting a little bit last year, the Carolina Panthers. And I absolutely love this pick, 48th pick, 16th pick of the second round, Jimmy Clausen. This is a guy that if he probably came out in earlier, or came, if he could come out, if he could come to NFL out of high school, this guy would have been a top five pick coming out of high school. This is how much Jimmy, I mean, this guy was on ESPN when he was a senior in high school. They did a whole little 60-minute bid on him or whatever. So a highly touted guy. Obviously, people have questions about his character, his leadership abilities, and blah, 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 blah. The thing, the best way a quarterback can lead a team is by throwing the ball to guys on his team and completing passes. If you do that, 65 to 70% of the time, it doesn't matter what you say in the locker room. It doesn't matter if you wear sunglasses and show up in a limo to the games. People aren't going to care. Trust me, people are not going to care. People are going to love you. People are going to, you know, say, tell you how great you are. So that's really all Jimmy Clausen's going to need. He has the arm. It does say here that he throws too many jump balls. He does throw a lot of floaters. But if you can design plays in the NFL, those floaters is an effective play where it actually is kind of behind the receiver, where a taller receiver can run upfield, get the cornerback's momentum moving backward, and then he can make a sharp break back and then catch it, actually an underthrown kind of looping ball. That's a play I see a lot in the NFL, and I think it's a throw that Jimmy Clausen, if he had the right, obviously it has to be one-on-one coverage, and it has to be the right corner on the right wide receiver, but that's what the NFL coaches get paid money to do, is to put their quarterbacks in positions to do that. So throws a nice looping top ball, and does over the middle. It does say that he doesn't throw very well over the middle here. That's something I think you learn as well. And if your team doesn't have a tight end that's any good and things like that, you're not going to be very good at that anyways. So we'll see what happens. But I like this pick. Carolina needed a quarterback, and they're not going to pay a whole lot of money here. This is a guy that, like I said, would have been one of the top picks if he came out of high school. That's how highly touted this guy was. He has other brothers that I think have been drafted, so he has the family bloodlines and things like that. So we'll see what happens here, but I like that pick. Toby Gerhardt, this was another one that kind of I had the second round on, but the day was on, but I didn't catch a lot of it. I was kind of distracted by other things, but Minnesota Vikings selected Toby Gerhardt. I kind of like this selection too. Adrian Peterson fans, you know, if you have a big collection of his and love his cards, man, you just hope he doesn't fall by the wayside, kind of like an LT did. And not that LT cards have really gone down a whole lot, but they have gone down. And a lot of other running backs we've seen just really get, you know, pounded. Carnell Williams, Ronnie Brown, there's just a ton of running backs that seem to just all of a sudden when their time runs out, it runs out. And AP's the kind of guy that never was really healthy in college, and has had some injury problems in the NFL, so it's nice that the Minnesota Vikings got a guy like that. Toby Gerhardt looks like he was cut out of a solid oak tree. This guy is huge. So I kind of like the pick. Like that it gives him somebody on the inside. And it, obviously, who knows what's going to happen with Brett Favre. I bet he comes back, but you know, you never know what happens, but they might have to turn into a running team again where they, you know, like the Bengals. The Bengals ran the ball, I think, more than any team in the NFL. It was frustrating watching them at sometimes because we would go three and out, but we would consistently run the ball. We'd be down by 15, 14, and we'd be running the ball, and I'd be thinking, man, what are we doing? But we'd end up coming back in the game, making a close game. So there's a lot to running, even though it's a throwing game. Still big time run defense. Run and run offense. So you need offensive linemen, you need running backs, and Minnesota Vikings solidified themselves there. Well, that about wraps it up. Well, actually, one more guy, Golden Tate, another guy that's going to have hobby impact. Golden Tate picked right at the end, 28th pick of the second round, 60th pick overall by the Seattle Seahawks. You better believe that Pete Carroll is going to be drawing up some plays for this guy. They say he has to improve his route running and all that BS. TJ Hushmanzada is there. There's the king of route running. I mean, the king of getting open, getting the little five-yard slant or the five-yard little comeback and doing his little slow-motion spin move. Golden Tate hopefully will learn a lot from TJ. Hopefully TJ will teach him. TJ is kind of a hard A, if you know what I mean. So we'll see if TJ opens up to this guy, and we'll see what happens there. But I like the pick there. He's another guy that's going to have some hobby impact. But other than that, I mean, we're not talking about a whole lot. I encourage you actually to head on over to the fan forum. I encourage you to do that every show, practically every 30 minutes. But I do encourage you, if you do want to find some information on NFL draft picks and things like that, over on our fan forum, we have a nice thread on 2010 NFL draft picks, and also some other guys have chimed in there, actually with some guys that I hadn't heard of, and guys that are kind of on their sleeper radar on their favorite teams, and guys that are keeping an eye on. I'll be keeping you abreast of Jermaine Gresham, and I'm sure, hopefully, people will send me emails, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Send me your sleepers for the NFL. It's a really good time right now, and I wish I had time, and I wish I knew the NFL well enough. I'll probably get into it a little bit more come fantasy football time, but again, this was more of a defensive draft in terms of the first rounds. Obviously, there's going to be some more. There's plenty of offensive guys that were drafted, but a lot of them are sleeper guys, quote unquote. You know, guys that, you know, we're only hearing about Tim Tebow right now. And obviously, I did, you know, 30 minutes here where, you know, I talked about most of the players that people have already talked about, but these are the guys that are going to make the hobby impact. When you bust these cards open, these are the guys that are going to make the impact. And to take it a step further, these are really the guys you want to sell. And obviously, there's going to be a handful of these guys. We maybe talked about 25 guys here, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say 10% of them are going to be worth what you're paying for now at the end of the season. Very few guys. We can just look at last year, for example. Mark Sanchez and Matthew Stafford, they came out pretty hot. And Mark Sanchez was really the only guy that got even hotter. So, you know, you can say the same thing here. Obviously, Tim Tebow, he's kind of the wild card because I think this guy, I mean, yeah, he's hot right now. But trust me, if he gets named the starter, or, I mean, in his first preseason, I mean, we're already hearing that he completed his first 20 passes in practice, when I'm sure there wasn't even a defense. It was like 7 on nobody. So I don't know how much stock I can take into that, but I will say that if Tim Tebow plays in his first preseason game and completes all his passes, we're going to be looking. Just everything this guy does that's positive, as long as he doesn't take a step back, it's just going to make his cards go up even further. And obviously the NFL season, it's very hard for a rookie to progress up and up and up. Even Mark Sanchez had plenty of struggles during the season. But obviously if you come on right at the beginning of the season and right at the end of the season, that has the biggest impact. So we'll see what happens with these rookies. But like I said, I'm going to go out on a limb and say only 10% of them are going to be worth what they're going to be at the end of the season. So a press pass autograph of C.J. Spiller, a press pass autograph of Jermaine Gresham, even a Donruss Elite and those kind of autographs probably are going to be overpriced right in the beginning of the season before these guys pay, because all we're paying for is hype. We think these guys are going to be the second coming of the best player ever at that position, and it just doesn't work out that way most of the time. So, but we'll see what happens. Again, to take it a step further, the guys that we talked about today, probably the guys you want to sell. If you open up a box for $100 and you pull a $100 autograph, $150 autograph, I say sell it and try to invest and spend that $150 on something else, you know, instead of just, you know, sitting around with that autograph that probably is going to depreciate. But we'll see what happens. That's a controversial opinion, but you know, obviously it's the play of the player. That's what's great about sports cards, great about sports in general. But it's the play of the player on the field, the play of the team, how the team performs, along with the popularity of the player within the community and within just kind of the general, you know, global atmosphere of personalities and things like that. So we'll see what happens. We'll see who can maintain their values throughout the season. And we'll see who – there'll be plenty of guys. There'll be tons of guys that'll actually sneak up on the radar and actually move up in value over the course of the season, because we're not talking about them yet, you know. And there are people that are talking about them, but chances are they were a fan of that guy in college, or happened to, you know him in high school, or know him from the hometown, or know him because, you know, they're headed off to their favorite team now. And considering I only follow one team at this time of year, you know, I can only report on them. But as fantasy football season rolls around, definitely be more in tune with what's going on with other teams and other players. I don't even want to think about fantasy football right now, because that's just like, just makes my heart sink. You know, anytime you finish second in anything, it's always nice because, you know, at least you didn't really do horribly. But it just really leaves a bitter taste in your mouth that you're close to there. And if the Jets, you know, didn't have to play the Indianapolis Colts in week 15, I'd win. But just another bitter rant from a fantasy football season gone past. But that about wraps it up for the NFL draft. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. Fairly short segment. We'll probably do just one more segment where we'll talk about the releases for the rest of this month that you want to, you know, get your Visa unmaxed and, you know, make sure there's some money in the checking account. Make sure your wife or your girlfriend out there, you know, saves a little money. Maybe, you know, instead of the Gucci purse, maybe go for one of the lower-end High Sierra, more economy brands, because you want to save some money. You're going to want to have some money for your collection at the end of this month. If you're into opening boxes or into chasing new product, definitely a good last 3 weeks of the month here. So we'll talk about those products and a little bit more. We'll break it out of here after this. Rolling right along. We'll be talking about what's coming out. You know, the last couple weeks of this month, actually really good, real solid. If you really like new stuff, and I will say I'm really excited about sports cards, but get off topic here, as we normally do on the show. I'm really excited for the 18th. I've been joking with my girlfriend and joking with other people that might be kind of incognito after, you know, at least a several days, 18th, 19th, 20th. I'm not going to be doing a whole lot but playing a video. There's a really nice, I actually invest in this company, but it looks like a really, if you're into, obviously this is for 18-year-old and over, although when I was 16, 17, my parents didn't really care a whole lot. If you do well in school and I think you're progressing In terms of becoming a man, I don't think your parents care too much if you play violent video games. Although Grand Theft Auto, those kind of games, I'm worried when, you know, knock on wood, if I ever get to have kids, when they turn 16, 17, it's Grand Theft Auto like 15 at that point. I might check it out myself before I say okay, because I know there's lots of language and lots of things that I don't know if they should even put in video games, but they do get away with it and they sell plenty of them, so I guess maybe that's why they do it. But Red Dead Redemption is basically Grand Theft Auto in the Midwest, or in the Wild West, excuse, not the Midwest. Grand Theft Auto in the Midwest would be really interesting. In amongst the cornfields and the trailer parks. Forgive me if you live in the Midwest. I've actually traveled that country. It's beautiful. And if I could give up not the big city, but somewhat of a city lifestyle, it'd actually be really pleasant to live out there amongst no pollution, no traffic. You could see the stars at night. I think that actually would be a fantastic lifestyle. So no offense to anybody in the Midwest. But this is actually the Wild West. Grand Theft, if you like Grand Theft Auto, it's basically the same controls, and same kind of, you know, theory, same makers of the game, obviously, but set in the Wild West, where you're old saloons and you're riding horseback and all those kind of things. You're gambling and you're hunting for your food. Interesting game. I'm really excited for it. Those are the kind of games that make me excited. So it's actually been several years. It actually was supposed to come out, I think, this time last year, and they put it back a whole year. So you better believe this game's impressive. So if you're into video games, and I have a feeling plenty of you are, definitely a game you want to check out. It comes out the 18th of May. This is a totally unaffiliated, aside from having a small amount of shares in the company, this is a totally unaffiliated and unbiased opinion. I think you probably will want to check that. If you're into shooters and shooting people up, not that I'm into doing that, but definitely on a gaming environment, I don't mind doing that every once in a while. I'm excited about that. But other than that, I'm really excited about sports cards coming up. Man, there's so much. Topps Chicle came out actually late last month, and it's a set that we would normally devote a whole segment of the show to, and we probably will. Once I have a box that I order, I actually got it today, but I'm busting it next week, just waiting on another part for my camera, and I've got some other things with the contest we have to do to iron out. But we're going to bust a box of that, so I'll talk about my experience busting that box after, and hopefully we'll pull some sweet cards. Hopefully I've got a tale of pulling a Mickey Mantle for somebody, or a Babe Ruth or something like that. Like a Derek Jeter. I don't know, Derek Jeter's with Upper Deck, but, Ryan Howard, something like that. It'd be really nice to pull something sweet out of Topps Chicle. So I'll wait until I actually open the box and actually have some experience with the product. It's kind of a Allen & Ginter kind of artsy design product, I guess is the best way to put it. It's not your traditional photograph. It's more like kind of artistic design and kind of throwback set design. So it's one of those kind of heritage kind of sets. So I'll talk a little bit about it once I open the box up, but that'll be several. It'll be several weeks out by then. But sometimes it's good to give a couple weeks, especially now. I noticed that I did my price tracker blog. I talked about Top Series 1. I knew for sure it would go up in price, and I actually predicted the price would go up. But I predicted it would go up too soon. Boxes of that stuff selling for like $100. Same with. Topps Heritage is selling for really pretty expensive prices, at least at the retail level. So it's, man, we've seen what the exclusive does. If you wait on even Chicle, I actually was going to pre-order it. I think it was like $85, and I decided to wait a couple days, and I think I ended up getting it for like $92. So it went up for like $7 in like a week. So that's a box that really should have been like an $80 box at most. And I ended up paying paying $95 for it. But I mean, geez, we've seen what exclusive deals do. So if you're into baseball, I encourage you to probably buy. I never did this. I've actually never did this in the past. But with baseball, my theory or my opinion might change. You actually might want to buy. You might want to pre-order. You might want to pre-order when the information on the product comes out, especially if it's traditionally a hot product, like Topps Allen & Ginter, Topps Chrome, Bowman Chrome, You know, the top series one, even top series two, the price is going to soar the second these guys reorder. The thing is there's always a first order. Typically products, especially like top series one baseball, tops with massive print runs and things like that, they don't sell out the first time around from the factory. But the second time they try to order, the price always adjusts based on the amount of orders coming in and the supply on hand. And so, you know, we'll just take for example, you know, then this is totally hypothetical, but just for an example, for someone like D.A. Cardwell, that you're all familiar with, obviously sells a ton of boxes of cards. So they order, we'll say they order 100 cases of Topps baseball. Well, they'll run out eventually, and they'll come and reorder, and they'll put in an order, say, for 50. Well, maybe Topps has 150 left, and DA wants 50, and Blowout wants 50, and, you know, all these other card shops want, you know, 10 each. Well, they're going to have to allocate at that point. Price is going to go up, and so that's why you see prices go up, you know, sometimes almost congruently, like 2 months after, a month after, once the initial stock runs low, they go in for their reorder, and the price is always much higher, especially at the wholesale level. You'll see prices just skyrocket at the wholesale level, let alone the direct level. So it's almost better to get in, because if you pre-ordered all this stuff, you would have gotten Chickle at under 80 a box. You would have gotten all your top series one and two for under whatever it is, $60 a box. But if you wait, especially till the day it comes out, and you wait till a couple when it starts drying up, since there's no competing product other than Topps own products, it's going to go up in price. So it's definitely worth checking out right in the beginning. So 2010 Bowman baseball, this is already soared in price at the pre-sale level. You've got Steven Strasburg's in here, Jason Hayward, Starlin Castro, a guy that we talked about on our prospect show, although we talked about all these guys. And there's quite a few other autographs that made it into the Aroldis Chapman is in here. I don't think his autograph is in there, just a base card. So lots of guys are in there. They've all had autographs in the past, but you know, considering Jason Hayward hasn't had a Bowman autograph, Steven Strasburg hasn't had a Bowman autograph, those are going to be the driving forces to the set, and Starlin Castro hasn't had a Bowman autograph yet. Those guys are really going to drive the set. People are really excited about Bowman baseball. That comes out May 12th. That same day, actually, May 12th is like the holy grail of days. If you want to have some money to spend, hopefully you get paid on maybe that Monday or hopefully that previous Friday. You don't spend a whole bunch of money that weekend. Panini Prestige Football comes out May 12th. We've got that full checklist up. There's some nice Letterman patch cards in there. Obviously, Tim Tebow and a bunch of other guys are going to be in there. Razor Poker comes out there. Hey, if you're like me, I really like watching poker. I don't gamble. I'm not much of a gambler, I should say, although I do gamble. But I don't. Not on the games of, I would consider mostly chance and a lot of luck. But I love watching poker. Love watching other people gamble. Love watching other people gamble their hundreds of thousands of dollars. I always find that exciting. So that set comes out in Timeless Treasures Basketball, which, man, I was going to talk about last month. I think it was supposed to come out in the middle of last month. That got pushed back. But still a worthy set for basketball collectors to check out. So that's May 12th. May 18th, I have BAP Signature Hockey, MLS Soccer. Again, all these dates can change. Again, I pimped Timeless Treasures, I think two or three times, and it kept getting pushed back, so I couldn't really talk about it. We'll definitely talk about that on our next show. Absolute Memorabilia, here's another this is a product that we'll definitely be doing a box break of. And if anybody from Panini is listening, you know, that'd be great to have a box of that. I wouldn't mind paying $160, but wouldn't mind not paying $160 for a box. So they were nice of us. Panini was really nice to send us a Panini Classics box. And I don't expect anything else, but if they do happen to send me something, Absolute Memorabilia sure would be nice. I know basketball collectors are really looking forward to that. That's May 19th, but be expecting a box break shortly after that. Since there's a lot of basketball product coming out this month, I might work my theory on that product and say it might come down just slightly. I might be able to scoop that for $120 a box, I'm thinking, because Court Kings actually comes out May, June 2nd. So you have Timeless Treasures, Absolute Memorabilia, and Court Kings, at least to my calendar, coming out within 4 weeks of each other. So that's a lot of basketball product, high-end basketball product, to flood the market. So I have a feeling prices might not go out of the ordinary on a product like that. So we might not jump right on board there, but we'll definitely be busting Absolute Memorabilia. I think it's a pretty cool product. Ringside Boxing Round 1 for all the boxing fans, even if you're not, interesting product to check out. We've got the whole checklist up. It was just released a handful of days ago. Really nice looking cards here. Man, this is some nice looking stuff. If you're into boxing, you're going to really love this. That comes out May 25th. Top Series 2 Baseball. So you got Bowman Baseball on the 12th, and you got Top Series 2 coming out the 27th of May. That's an exciting set. It's very similar to Series 1. The SPs are going to be stated print. They're not serial numbered, I don't think, but I think the stated print run is 3,000 on those, I believe, either 2 or 3,000. I have the full checklist up again. I'm trying to do my best to get all the checklist ups. I can't say that I'm wealthy enough to purchase these products and open them and give you my opinion on them. And I can't say that I've opened these products up enough in the past to give you my opinion on how they compare to previous years. You know, I've been mostly in the game, you know, over the last 10 years, I've strictly mainly sold cards and been on the selling end. So in terms of opening them up and, you know, really dissecting the actual value for a collector and somebody that really wants to stack a bunch of cards up and have a big collection, I'm not the best person to give you advice for there. But I will say, you know, sometimes just taking a look at the checklist is sometimes the best thing to do. And that's what I like to do for you guys over at sportscardradio.com. Anytime we can get, I mean, Top Series 2 took me 2 days to put up because it's like a 700-800 card set. It might be bigger than that. But, you know, I think that's one of the best ways to make a decision on something because, hey, if you're a Red Sox fan or if you're a certain player or if you like rookies or if you like legends, you can just say, man, I love Mickey Mantle. Man, I want to see how many Mickey Mantle cards are in here. So, you know, to see, hey, if there's 25 different Mickey Mantle cards, I might just bust a box and pick up, I'll have a good chance of picking up a handful. But if there's only one, or if, you know, Derek Jeter is locked up by Upper Deck, so there's really only like one Derek Jeter or two Derek Jeters, you probably should just scoop them up, you know, at your card store or online or something. So hopefully that helps you. Got the whole checklist for Series 2 Baseball up. Hopefully that helps you if you're trying to collect the set. I try to go through and update them because I get the checklist up right when they come out, but they always change a little bit. I actually just changed Bowman a handful of days ago. They added Hayward, they added Starlin Castro, they added a handful of other players. They took out a couple players that they couldn't really get signed and things like that. So, but overall, I think Bowman's going to be really nice for baseball. I think Series 2 Baseball is going to be really nice. Basketball fans, you are going to be in love with this month with Timeless Trevors. This month is what you've been waiting for all year. You've been saying, hey, I want some higher-end stuff, higher-end cards. Well, Timeless Treasures, Absolute Memorabilia, and Court Kings later on next month, this is what you guys have been waiting for. And with football fans, you got Prestige, but then next month we've got more products coming out, and obviously down the pipeline we've got Elite and Classics and some more down the line. So plenty of things to look forward to. And that's about it. That's about all we have looking forward to at the end of this show. That about wraps it up. We're right at that 1 hour mark. I don't know how I do it. I came into the show thinking it was going to be 30 minutes. It came out to be an hour. I don't know how I did it. I don't know how valuable. It probably really should have been 30 minutes. But it ended up being an hour. Again, want to thank the people that signed up for the forum recently. Check out justcardboard.com and thecardshop.blogspot.com along with sportscardradio.com. I know you've been checking that site out, and I appreciate it. And our fan forum, if you want to get up in on the conversation, in on the contest, typically with all our box breaks, all our future box breaks. And I will say, again, 2007 Donruss thread. So I've got, I think, 5 or 6 people in there. I really appreciate everybody jumping in. You know, $2 a box. I'm going to be doing that more often, where we do, you know, a couple bucks, you know, definitely under $5. Never going to be more than $5. unless we want to go crazy and do like a $300 box or something like that. But it'll never be more than a couple bucks a box. But I'll be doing them throughout the year, and I'll take the Bengals. And if it's football, I'll take the Bengals and any team that's not taken. And with basketball, I will consider maybe even giving up the Lakers, because I know how popular the Lakers are, and it might be a game breaker if somebody couldn't get the Lakers, or if especially in Panini products, with Kobe being the hit, I almost feel kind of bad taking the Lakers. But maybe we'll work something out if we do basketball. But baseball as well. We'll do some box breaks, really cheap box breaks, because I've always tried to get involved with them on the forums. Always wanted to do box breaks, but they're always like 30, 40, 50 bucks. And not that that's a whole lot of money, but man, 30, 40 bucks, that sometimes, man, I've actually made a lot of money in the stock market off that small amount of money. So it's amazing what a dollar, 30 shares of a dollar stock can do, believe me. You know, I kind of like to keep it at that $5 range, $4 or $5. That doesn't hurt anybody. And plus, you know, the wife and the girlfriend doesn't necessarily see that transaction on the PayPal or the credit card. So it's not like a huge expense. So we'll be doing more of those along with free runs. We'll be doing our free rolls, and we'll be doing those occasionally. We'll maybe just tag team them. You know, since I buy most of these boxes, Panini was nice enough to send us a box. But pretty much all the other companies And, you know, unless they just happen to send me a box, I'm going to buy it myself, and we'll maybe combo it, do a free one and do a paid one, and hopefully we'll get some people involved in that. That about wraps it up. Head on over to sportscarradio.com, the fan forum. Do what you need to do this week. We'll be coming back at you with more in-depth coverage of Bowman baseball. We'll do a little bit of Top Series 2. Definitely cover these basketball sets that come out. We'll have all that coming up this month. Hopefully you guys will tune in then. That about wraps it up for today. Thanks for tuning in. We are out of here.